Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program for the month this afternoon. Here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. She and her husband Mike share their home with, all right, write this down, two dogs, Marcus and Ivy, six cats, Oliver, Ziggy, Annie, Oakley, Homer, Sapphire, and Rosebud, two fish tanks, and a pond complete with fish and frogs. Wow. When not treating her patients, she can be found on a golf course, weather permitting, or working in her garden, and it's always nice to have her here on the program. Dr. O'Loughlin, welcome back to the States, and welcome here.
Thank you.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. Or you can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Love it when you call, though. It is a call-in program. 800-348-2551 is that number. And you mentioned to me, Doctor, that it's flea time again, eh?
Yeah, it seems like that lovely little heat wave that we just went through really woke all the fleas up. And we have suddenly been seeing a lot of our patients coming in that are battling fleas. I know one question I've been getting from a lot of my clients is, you know, they're using a product on their pet to prevent fleas like Frontline or Advantage or Advantix, and they're still seeing fleas. And they feel like the product's not working. And more times than not, the product is working, as long as they are applying it correctly. But when you get a huge number of fleas in the environment, it's just, you know, more than the product can deal with at any one time. And, you know, every time your pet walks outside to go to the bathroom, fleas are jumping on them.
Yeah.
So they walk back in the house and you see a flea. Well, the flea hasn't had a chance to die yet. But I always tell people, any flea or tick on a dog or a cat that's wearing a product is a dead bug walking.
Oh, really?
So they're going to die.
What about the eggs?
Most of the products these days have egg suppression products in them so that the eggs will be inactivated so they can't go on to hatch. So even if they do live long enough to lay eggs, which they probably shouldn't, but if they do, the eggs aren't going to be any good.
So the flea season, if there is such a thing, will peter out when the first frost hits, or when does that end?
Yes, pretty much fleas will get killed off with the first frost. The problem with fleas is if you don't catch it at, you know, nip it in the bud, you can have the fleas in your house. And then that can go on for months because there's a part of the flea life cycle where they go into their sort of cocoon.
Yeah.
And they stay in that for up to, you know, 3 or 4 months, depending on the humidity in your house.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It is Pets and Vets Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. So if you do have an infestation or the beginnings of one in your house, then what's the plan?
Well, the good news is with most of the topical products that we have out these days, you can, as long as you put it on every pet in your house, they can be a walking flea magnet. So they will walk around your house and any flea that hatches out will jump on them and die. Fleas and ticks prefer furred critters. So they're going to jump on your pet before they jump on you.
Yeah.
And the other option, of course, is you can still treat your house. But
and how, so basically, I know it can probably be very expensive to do that, but what is a simple way to do that? If you're a pet owner, you're concerned that these fleas could be dormant in your house, what do you do? How do you clean that all up?
Well, one step is vacuum.
Yeah.
Vacuum everything and then discard the vacuum bag. And then you can treat with a topical household product. I'm a bigger fan of sprays than bombs. Mm. Bombs just kind of go up and down, where fleas tend to hide under things. So with a spray, you can physically spray under your furniture, spray under your tables, corners, behind doors, things like that.
Mm. And then ticks is another. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and that tends to, most of those products last for 6 months.
Okay.
So they continue to work.
And ticks are another issue. I mean, we've seen them on pets in our neighborhood and even a couple of kids in our neighborhood. And so ticks are not as much of a problem in the house, right?
Not usually. Ticks tend to crawl on whoever they crawl on and stay on them.
Yeah.
They will eventually finish their feeding and fall off, and they could fall off in your house. But I have never heard of or seen ticks hatching out in the house. I don't think it's the proper environment and humidity for them to hatch.
Okay. We have a question here from Facebook. We'll go to the phones in just a moment. 800-348-2551. Nomar, Nomar is a 9-year-old Labradoodle? Okay, I'll go along with the premise. Nomar says, I'm a 9-year-old Labradoodle. On my walks, I'm being eaten alive. Better than the alternative, but still bad. I'm always scratching and biting myself as the itch is driving me nuts. What can my dad and mom do to help me? Mom's also upset by the extra fur I'm spreading around from all my scratching. I hope you do answer questions from dogs. Say hi to Joe Donahue Roundtable, because we're friends. Well, at least on Facebook. Okay, so.
Okay, no more. I think chances are more likely that you're not getting bitten by something, and much more likely that you have allergies.
Ah.
This time of year, a lot of dogs suffer from seasonal allergies, and dogs respond to allergies through their skin. So they get itchy.
Mm.
And they can often get red spots and things, so people think they're bug bites. And it's really truly allergies. So I would, it's a complicated issue, and I would speak to your vet. There are a lot of things that can be done to treat dogs with
Benadryl.
Allergies. Yeah, antihistamines
yeah.
are part of that. Bathing, potentially fatty acids, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Kate in DeFreeseville, you're on.
Hi. I have a 15-year-old cat who, over her lifetime with me, has, when she's been angry, sometimes she'll pee outside the litter box. But now that she's probably the past 2 or 3 years, she won't use it at all. And I'm wondering if this is possibly dementia. She goes to the vet regularly, and she's healthy in all other ways. But she's getting very, very skinny. She's getting less active. And so I'm just kind of wondering, is this a sign that she's at the end of her life, or?
Okay. I would say, one question I have for you, Kate, where is the litter box?
There are two cats in the house, so there are 3 litter boxes, and they are in private areas. One is in a hallway that has, there are no children in our house, it's just me and my husband. One is in the bathroom, one is in the front hallway, and one is downstairs. Like, they're all in easy-to-access areas.
Okay, all on different levels of the
yep.
house?
Yep, yep.
Okay. I mean, I have seen some, the reason I'm asking, some elderly cats don't like to do stairs, and so just out of convenience, they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, she does actually do stairs.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Have you tried different types of litter?
You know, I really haven't. I've only really tried the natural litter, because they don't smell very much, you know, the non-clay litter.
Okay. Because a lot of times when a cat is completely refusing to use a litter box, it can mean they don't, there's something about the litter box they don't like. So they don't like the location, they don't like the cleanliness or lack thereof of it.
Right, right.
Or they don't like the litter itself. So
okay.
One thing is you can do a litter test where you get several litters in several litter boxes and sort of line them up and
okay.
see if she will actually use one of them. And if she
okay.
uses it, then use that litter.
Okay.
I have a sort of part 2. Do you
okay.
have any good names of cleaners, you know, like enzymatic cleaners? Like, I've tried everything.
Yes. There is one that I've been using, and it the name of it always escapes me, and I have to think of it. It starts with a Z.
I'll keep listening. Maybe you'll think of it
That's
later.
A good idea.
Yeah, it might come to me, but it starts with a Z. It's online, and oh no, it wasn't a Z. Yeah, I take that back. It
the
has
light
a
bulb
Z
is
in
going
it.
Off.
Yes, it's Fizzon, FIZZ. I think it's ION.
Okay.
It comes as little tablets, and you put it in water, and it works really well.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate. We appreciate it. Now, if a cat pees on a carpet regularly or won't go in the box that it always has, could that be crying out for help?
Absolutely.
My kidneys are in trouble or
right.
something's wrong?
Right. I mean, and that's one thing, of course, I should have said that to her. You always want to have them checked and make sure there isn't something, a urinary tract infection Something along those lines.
All right. One more before we go to break here, and then we'll get back to the calls. Here's one from Facebook. Gaetana says, my dog, a 4.5-year-old pointer mix, has degenerative disc disease. She suffered 2 herniated discs and 2 surgeries since April. We know we have to carefully manage her behavior in the future so we can avoid this again. But do you know of any supplements or medications that can slow the progress of this disease or make her discs somewhat less brittle going forward? Any suggestions would be welcome. Thanks.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would certainly, discs are made of cartilage, a form of cartilage. And so potentially putting the dog on a glucosamine chondroitin supplement would be, it doesn't hurt for sure, and it might help. Unfortunately, dogs that have abnormal discs, it's often a breed, I think they said pointer?
I believe it was a 4.5-year-old pointer mix,
okay,
correct?
Okay, pointer mix. So it depends on what it's mixed with. I mean, certainly the crooked-legged animals like dachshunds and boxer beagles and things like that have abnormal cartilage, and they're much more prone to having back problems. So I guess I would say the chondroitin, certainly weight control is primary, so there's no extra weight.
Yeah.
And just being careful with the exercise.
All right, let's take a break here. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Pets and Vets today. More of your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, the BowWowBathhouse.com. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, a 75-acre Hudson Riverfront estate with lodging, a farm-to-table restaurant, an organic kitchen, garden, orchard, and spa, booking day, evening, weekends, and events. ButtermilkFallsInn.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting An American in Venice, James McNeil Whistler and His Legacy, with etchings by Whistler, John Marin, and more, arkellmuseum.org. Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988, open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. Kirshner Concerts, presenting Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues, August 6th at The Egg, Albany, theegg.org for tickets. In Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, and resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
One 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of the Del Mar Animal Hospital is our guest. And back to the phones we go. Barbara in High Falls. Barbara, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have a cat about 10 years old, a female cat, and she seems in very good health in every way, except in the last couple of years, she started throwing up her food, and I would try various things. I would try changing her food, getting more expensive food, more natural food. I might say that natural food she didn't like. And then later, it seemed like I might have found a good a solution. I started feeding her instead of a small serving of dry food in the morning and a small serving of wet food at night. I started serving her just dry food, and it seemed to work, but now she's started throwing up again.
Oh, boy.
Barbara, has the cat been to a vet recently to discuss this and be checked for certain issues?
No, I have to tell you the truth, she hasn't.
Okay.
She seemed fine, but maybe...
Yeah, because a lot of the vomiting issues in cats can be related to certain diseases, especially as they get older. There's thyroid disease, there's inflammatory bowel disease, and these things can potentially be diagnosed through blood tests. Inflammatory bowel disease a little less so, but you can sometimes see changes in the blood tests that lean you in that direction. And then, depending on what's found, it may be finding a certain type of food that is going to agree with the cat. You know, if the cat is not eating really quickly and then vomiting, it can be just that they have become sensitive to certain ingredients in their diet.
I can't quite tell. For a long time, there's nothing, and then there's eating and throwing up.
Right.
And yeah.
Does she seem like she's lost any weight?
No, she just seems perfectly happy, except I'm not too crazy about
cleaning up cat hair.
I love her. I love her. It's okay. And she's in every way, she seems like a healthy cat. But it's true. I haven't taken her to the vet.
I would get her checked out because there may be a very simple explanation.
Yeah. Okay. And thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Barbara, thank you. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, Dr. Kerry O'Loughlin on Pets and Vets. Jim in Del Mar. Jim, you're on.
Hi, doctor. This is Jim. I think I was at your office. I was at your office yesterday. I brought my cat in, Max, and he had problems with his ears, and we had to hold him down. I'm sorry he was such a bad patient. But the reason I'm calling is about he's 16 years old, and he has problems jumping up on the couch or whatever. And I was wondering how you felt about giving him like a half of an aspirin or something to help him. I think he might have arthritis.
Well, it's very likely he very well may. And he was not that bad yesterday. So certainly they've done studies where pretty much any cat over the age of 10 has the potential to have arthritis. People don't think of cats being arthritic the way they do dogs, but cats get a lot of arthritis. My number one thing to do with cats with arthritis is to start them on glucosamine. And we actually do have a product that we sell called Glycoflex, which is a fishy flavored tablet. So a lot of cats like it. My 15-year-old cat who had knee surgeries has been on it for years, and he woofs it right down with the rest of his food very happily. So that's one place to start. You can use aspirin in cats, but you have to be very careful. Cats are very sensitive to aspirin. You have to be sure their kidneys are working well because it can be potentially not great for their kidneys. Mm. And they only take a little bit. You know, it's usually like a half a tablet every 3 or 4 days. But the glucosamine is very safe. And for cats with low-grade arthritis, it really does the trick. So if you wanted to stop back up, you could pick some up.
All right.
I'll be back.
All right.
Thank you.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. It's John and Castleton's turn. John, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I heard about the flea problem that one of your callers had, and I had a terrible flea problem with both of my dogs. They're allergic to flea bites, and their skin got bright red and everything like that. And the vet that I have, Wendy the vet, she prescribed something called Comfortis. And it comes in different dosages by the size and weight of the cat. It's by prescription only. And supposedly it's an all-natural thing. You give them the tablet, and within 45 minutes, every flea was gone off of them. I couldn't believe it. And it's just an amazing product. You give it, you know, once a month. And we started this spring, and they haven't had a flea on them.
What do you think, Doc? Have you heard about this stuff?
Yes, Comfortis is excellent. My concern with the Comfortis, and one of the reasons why we don't tend to carry it, is it only does fleas.
Ah.
Right.
So it doesn't do anything for the ticks. And most of our clients are looking for something that does both fleas and ticks. But if you're really having a problem with fleas, it does do a good job.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that we did, we also treat them with the Frontline as well to take care of the tick problem as well. So
great.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Joe Ellen in Cobleskill. You're on.
Hi. Thanks, folks. I guess this may be Cat Gastro Day. My question is about my Maine Coon, Baron Manfred. I've owned Maine Coons for 30 years, and they should be mooses. Manfred is 11.4 pounds and hasn't budged in 2.5 years. He's 5 years old. His coat is like silk. He's crazy all over the house. So there isn't anything that would say, yes, he has this particular problem. But we can't put weight on the boy. He thinks he's a greyhound. Do you have any suggestions?
So, I know that's pretty small for a Maine Coon. Is he really skinny? I mean, are his bones sticking out skinny, or is he just slim?
They're not sticking out, but when you pet him, you can feel him under a little bit of skin. But like I say, the coat is glossy. His health is fine. His blood work is great. He's bright-eyed, friendly, but he looks like a supermodel.
Right.
And I'm not used to that with a Maine
Coon. I'm thinking he's just a little bit of an odd-shaped Maine Coon. It doesn't, I mean, the fact that his weight has been stable and he otherwise looks good and his blood work is good, I think he's just got a different physique than the average, moosey, fat Maine Coon.
Yeah, our other one, Oswald the Great, he's a moose.
Oswald the Great.
And they both get fed the same thing. They get Royal Canin for Mainers. They get some Fancy Feast, and the treat that we tend to give Manfred is Wild Side, which is just freeze-dried salmon, which he loves.
Right.
So he's getting everything, but he's just small.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I think that's just the way his build is. I actually have two litter mates, and they eat the same thing, and one's kind of chubby, and the other one, I can't get him to gain any weight.
Wow.
But he's very active, and I think that's just the way he is.
Okay.
Okay, then I will stop worrying and just say, you're cute, but you're skinny.
Yep.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot, Joe Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, and here's one. We'll go right back to the phones at 800-348-2551, but this sounds like an emergency. This one comes in from Kathy and says, our dog was sprayed this morning by a skunk. He's currently at the groomer's, but we have a lingering skunk odor in the house, especially the living room rug and also in the car. Would you have any suggestions for eliminating the smell?
For in the house. I mean, I have a great suggestion for the dog. There is a skunk remedy. You can pretty much just Google now skunk remedy, and it comes up, and it's hydrogen peroxide and oh gosh, a couple other things are escaping me right now. Hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and dish soap, I think, are the main ingredients. And but I don't know about using that on your furniture because of the hydrogen peroxide.
Can you put dish soap on an animal?
You could. Oh yeah, just a small amount, and then you rinse it off.
Oh, I see.
But the peroxide and the baking soda combine to deactivate the active ingredient in the skunk spray that makes the odor, and then the dish soap makes the oil come out of the fur. But I wouldn't use it on your furniture because you're likely to discolor your colors. You might want to try the Fission that I just recommended to somebody. That's supposed to work great on all sorts of odors.
Interesting. Well, I always heard tomato juice.
Tomato juice doesn't work.
It's a myth?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
All right.
And it's horrible to get out of their fur.
Okay. Well, good luck. Let's go to Carmen in, Exeter, New Hampshire. Wow, you're on.
Hello. Actually, I'm not in Exeter. I'm on I-90. But
okay.
I have two cats, and we are moving to Exeter, and I'm going to be stay with my daughter for about 5 days. And she has a beagle that is being treated for fleas, but my cats don't go outside. Mine are Maine Coons. They don't go outside. And do I have to worry about fleas? And if I do, what do I have to do for just those 5 days?
Well, you have a couple of options. One would be to get one of the topical products, something like Vectra or Advantage or Frontline, and put it on the cats. It'll work for a month, but that way if they do, if any flea jumps on them, it should get them. The other option is when you're ready to leave and go to your new home, there is a product called CapStar. It is a pill, so it does mean you have to get a pill into the cats, which can be a challenge.
Absolutely.
But it will kill anything on the cat within hours. It only works for a day, but if you're leaving and never coming back to that house, it would be one way to get rid of any fleas on them. I think easier is to just dose them with a little Advantage or Frontline or okay. Vectra, one of those products.
And I can use it just once and not worry about it after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with the move.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen. So are there any side effects to these flea products for critters?
Generally not. Most of the better products. I'm not a big fan of like Hart's Mountain and all those.
Okay.
The older style products used to get absorbed into the system, and then it was, you know, more toxic, more chance of causing a problem. The newer products all stay on the outside of the animal.
Hmm.
They only go into the hair follicles, so they don't get absorbed into the end of the animal system. They're pretty safe. I mean, even if the animals lick it, it's not going to harm them. They don't like the taste, so cats will often foam at the mouth because they don't like the taste, but it's not harmful to them.
All right, let's go to Darren in Perth, New York. Darren, you're on.
Hi, yes, I have a 2-year-old red-nosed pit bull, and I'm feeding him Wellness. I noticed that he got allergies every time I fed him, other brands, so I've switched him to a corn-free, wheat-free, soy-free, chicken-free diet because I'd read that, you know, chicken may be a cause of the allergies. I've taken him to the vet, and they're saying that his eyes aren't red. They don't see any signs of any condition or allergy. You know, it's fine, but I'm concerned that he's always having coal in the corner of his eyes, and they're kind of always red on the outside.
Okay, but it sounds like, is his coloring sort of that? I mean, his nose is, what color is his dog?
He's a red nose, so his nose is red.
Okay. Because some of those dogs, their eyelids will look a little redder just because of their coloring.
He's like a beige.
Right. So it's sort of like a red-haired kid, you know, who has the freckles and stuff. if the vet looked at him and didn't think the eyes looked red, I think it may just be his coloring. A little bit of discharge from the eyes, some animals get that as long as it's not a lot and really thick and sort of yellow or green, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, so even if he has it like all day, every day. So every 5-10 minutes, once I wipe it out, it's back in there.
Okay. I mean, one thing, I don't know if they checked his tear ducts. Some animals can get plugged up tear ducts, and then their tears have no choice but to spill over onto their face. And that's a pretty easy test. They just put a little stain in the eyes and see if it comes out his nose. So you might want to have that checked.
Well, that's a good idea. Darren, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good luck. 1-800-348-2551. As you may have guessed, it's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. David in Chatham is up. David.
Oh, hi. Just a comment for the gentleman who had it off through the cat. Our oldest, who is 20, one of five cats, has been arthritic for a number of years, has a lot of trouble getting on and off the bed. So we put a stool about halfway the height of the bed, just at the foot of the bed, and she uses that to get up and down. She's on and off 30 times a day. Problem solved.
That's true. I actually have a feeding table in my kitchen, and I have the same thing. I have a little step stool next to it for my 15-year-old with the bad knees, and all my cats actually use it. They get pretty lazy and take a hop up the stairs. So that's a very good idea, a very good recommendation. Having some sort of steps for them does help.
Yeah.
All right, David. All right, thank you very much. I enjoy the program.
Thanks a lot. It is Vox Pop. All right, before we go to our break, let's do one from, I believe it is the email. I could never quite tell. This is from Brendan O'Meara, and here's the question. A friend of mine's father had a Doberman with cataracts. He chose to mix raw egg, I don't even know, turmeric, I guess it is, turmeric, and fish oil in with his feed. He claims it reversed the cataracts. My Jack Russell, Schipperke, is that right? Schipperke mix?
Schipperke.
Schipperke. Of course, it's Schipperke. Why not? The Jack Russell Schipperke mix has cataracts in his left eye. Is there any claim that diet can help reduce or even reverse the cataract, maybe even prevent it from his right eye?
Not that
prevent it, I'm sorry, not prevent it.
Not that I know of. Once a cataract has formed, it's, as far as I know, pretty darn impossible to unform it.
Hmm.
Now, there may have been some other form of cloudiness in was it her father's eyes?
A friend of mine's father had a Doberman with cataracts.
Right, the Doberman's eyes. That may have been some sort of inflammatory thing, and it wasn't truly a cataract.
Ah.
And maybe the dog did have some sort of food allergy, and they were able to reverse it. But a cataract is a cataract, and once it's there until it is surgically removed.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. And once again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Back with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin and more of Vox Pop Pets and Vets on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Earth Angels Veterinary Hospital, Wappingers Falls, an integrative facility that combines conventional and holistic medicine for a 360-degree approach to veterinary care. EarthAngelsVet.com. The Garrison in the Hudson Highlands, featuring an 18-hole golf course, restaurants and terrace dining, weddings, getaway packages, and Hudson River views, TheGarrison.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, featuring the Divine Wine Store with wines from all over the world, with pairings, monthly tastings, and events, HealthyLivingMarket.com. Don Mother Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handcrafted glass, and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and DonMotherGallery.com. The Pirates Lakeside Grill at Nassau Lake, featuring grass-fed organic beef and 6 hot dogs from local and old world makers. Thursday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m., PiratesLakesideGrill.com. And Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, presenting blues rockers George Thorogood and the Destroyers and guitarist Buddy Guy. Guest performances by the James Hunter Six and Quinn Sullivan, Thursday, August 8th at 7:30 p.m., BethelWoodCenter.org.
One 800 348 2551 is our telephone number. That's Peter Frampton, by the way, doing the Soundgarden song "Black Hole Sun." If you're listening at home, saying, "Wow, what the heck was that?" Peter Frampton. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest here on Pets and Vets, and to the phones again we go. It's Bonnie in Ashfield. Bonnie, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My sister found a litter of kittens in June. I was a feral mother, just a very young mother. But anyways, my daughter ended up with one of the kittens. She's a great kitten, but after her brothers left, she tends to bite quite hard. When she's playing, she just gets too rambunctious. And I do have two older cats that have been very tolerant of her, so I think that's going to work out. But I'm just wondering if there are humane ways to try to prevent her or convince her that biting down hard is not the fun way to go.
So I take it she's not biting down hard on your other cats, but on you, correct?
On my daughter especially. Yeah, more on the people. She can't really catch the big cats yet.
Well, generally, you know, kittens tend to learn from other cats appropriate play. So how young was she when she was taken from the litter?
There was three of them in the litter, and they were my sister, their eyes were all open, and it was only a matter of days before they were actually lapping milk and water. We got them kitten formula, of course, and, you know, we fed them from a bottle maybe for the first 4 days or so, and then they were lapping, and they were eating solid food, you know, mushed up kibbles and kitten milk before long.
And how old was the kitten when you got it, when it was separated from its litter mates?
She was probably 6.5, 7 weeks old, maybe.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's the one problem when you have either hand-raised kittens or kittens that are separated when they're fairly young, and 6 weeks is pretty young. They kind of miss that opportunity of learning from their litter mates appropriate play. So you want to be careful not to play with her with your hands. If you're going to use a toy of any kind, try and do like one of those fishing pole toys so that you're separated from her, or a laser light, something like that, so she doesn't associate your hands with play. And if she bites down on you at all, you just completely stop giving her any attention. So put her down, get up and walk away, whatever, so that she learns every time she does that, her friend leaves. And she does it on your adult cats at all, they will let her know that that is not appropriate.
Is the cat drawing blood?
No, I think she did break through my daughter's skin once, but I don't think there was any blood or anything. And we did have her brother for a while, so then they played rough because they were always, you know, yelling at each other when they did bite each other too hard. But then they went their separate ways, too. We took turns taking care of the litter, so...
Right. And, you know, hitting her on the nose or any kind of corporal punishment is not going to work. You just need to make her realize that she's not going to get any attention when she does that.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Because my daughter did try a little piece of lemon, have her bite down on that.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Make it distasteful. That's another good way of breaking her the habit.
Yeah, she shook her head and walked away. So, and we called her Hope, and now we just call her Hopi Indian. She's like a little crazy animal. But she's fun. Thank you for your suggestion.
Thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate it. You know, I had a Siamese, I had a Seal Point growing up, and we played. They're not rough cats, but they're aggressive with critters outside. And we played fairly rough. And this cat, she would scratch lightly and bite, but never always knew the limits.
Right,
and it would never progress further than that. In fact, I encouraged it. I was a kid. I didn't know any better. But all those years, it never progressed to biting through the skin or anything.
Yeah, we definitely see this with a lot of young kittens that were taken away from the litter too soon. They just miss that socialization period with their other litter mates.
All right, let's go to Mike in Glenville. Hi, Mike. You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're
great.
On.
I have a probably a 10-year-old pit bull mix, small dog, about 50 pounds. And she has cutaneous lymphoma.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I understand it's an oh, dear. We've started over at the guys at New England Veterinary and Oncology Group.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing chemo for, I would say, about 6 weeks now. And initially, the tumors that she had after surgery, which is how we found it, with the first dose, went away. And now they're coming back. And we've been very in close contact with the doctors out there. And my question to you is, from what I read, that there's really not much that can be done with this type of lymphoma, and we just are not sure when to pull the plug on the chemotherapy.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm no expert when it comes to cutaneous lymphoma. I have treated some dogs for lymphoma, but you know, an oncologist, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I do know that the skin form tends to be less responsive because, you know, there are two forms of lymphocytes, which are a type of white blood cell, T cells and B cells. And the skin form tends to be a T cell lymphoma, and T cells just do not respond as well to chemotherapy. I guess I would recommend speaking to the oncologists you've been dealing with, because they are probably have the best input on the newest research. I almost think there's potentially other, like, radiation that could be done, but, again, I don't know.
Okay. Sorry, Mike.
I wish I could give you more info on that one, but I would talk to the oncologist. They're your best educational tool.
I appreciate the call. Let's go to good luck. Mark in where are you calling from, Mark?
I'm calling from Peterstown, Mass.
Okay, you're on.
Great, thanks. So I'm actually calling on behalf of my mom, who currently has two kittens that are about 9 months old. And there were two seemingly feral kittens that were about 4 months old that popped up and kept coming to her house. So she put a little food dish out, and then they became pretty frequent. And one of them seemed to not come anymore, and there was one that continued to come. So she took him in, assuming that he was feral. She had him neutered. And then the other one came back. And she's kind of wondering now, were these someone's cats? Not that they seemed like they were, since they came all the time. They'd sleep there. And she's wondering what to do with the other one and if there's a type of organization that she can contact to maybe see if these are other people's cats or if she should just go ahead and keep this other one and get him neutered as well.
Well, that's a good question. That depends on, I'm not sure where your mom lives. Around here, pretty much all of the animal control officers and all the veterinary offices have microchip scanners. So that's one thing you could do is have the cats scanned to see if they were microchipped. Chances are, though, unneutered. Is the second cat a male as well?
Yeah, they're both males.
Okay. You know, unneutered males probably unlikely to be owned by someone, that, especially if they've been wandering around and coming to her frequently. So there are some, you know, organizations around that help people find homes for cats. around here, there's kitten angels and there's Gilderhaven, things like that. So you could look into, or the local Humane Society, and see if they can help you.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate the advice.
Mark,
okay.
Thanks a lot. Let's go over to Todd in Pittsfield. Todd, you're up.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about cat scratching. We have some new furniture on order, and the cats have scratched up our old furniture pretty good. We do have scratch posts on either side of the couch with catnip on them, and we also let them outside to, you know, scratch trees, hopefully. But is there anything further we can do to encourage the cats not to scratch the furniture?
You can, you know, as long as, let me step back here. Cats, depending on the cat, some cats like the feeling of the furniture or they like the verticalness of it. So if you've got scratching posts nearby, you want to, you know, as you said, encourage them as much as you can by putting catnip or putting dangly toys on the scratching post so that the cats prefer that. And of course, when they do use the scratching post, just like you would praise a dog when they do something right, praise them and say, oh, good kitty, so they understand that. And then temporarily, when you get the new furniture, they do make like things like double-sided sticky tape that you can put on the furniture so that when they go to scratch it, they get that sticky feeling.
Okay. Yeah,
other things are aluminum foil. Cats don't tend to like aluminum foil, so you could drape some aluminum foil over the furniture and see if that turns them away from it. I can't promise you that they're not going to go back to the furniture once you take that off, but it might just break the cycle for them.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, it seems like they do it sort of to get our attention, you know, or they'll scratch at the screens when they want to go outside or when they, you know, it's often when they want our attention for something, it seems. So
right.
I don't know how that plays into it, but okay, well, I can try that out. Thanks.
Okay.
Good. Aluminum foil on the furniture. Well, that'd be fun to sit on the furniture while, you know, you cook a roast while you're sitting watching. All right, let's, Evelyn in Kingston. Evelyn, you're on.
Hi. I live in an old house. And we can't use air conditioning. I have three short-haired cats and an 83-pound boxer. I leave the ceiling fans on all the time. Does that help my little babies?
Yes. You know, I actually live in an old house myself, and I don't have air conditioning. And I definitely found the ceiling fans got to be very popular. I would find my cats lying under them, you know, with their bellies up. so, yes, having ceiling fans and even potentially a separate floor fan or a rotary fan just to keep the air moving. Other things you can do is, you know, keep your, like we have another string of horrible hot weather like we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, keeping your curtains closed early in the morning to keep the house as cool as possible during the day. You know, they generally can tolerate that. It's not like your house is going to get to be 120 degrees. So, know, I think they're going to be fine.
Okay.
Plenty of water.
Thanks, Evelyn. We appreciate the call. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets, 1-800-348-2551. We go to Jim in Clinton. Jim, you're on.
Hey, thanks. I love your show.
Thanks.
We have a marvelous tabby cat, but it chews paper.
Chews it.
Yeah. It eats paper. It doesn't eat it. It chews it. So, like the paper in the printer, for example, it likes paper in the printer. It likes cardboard boxes. It chews paper.
Huh. I'll be darned.
I have definitely had a couple of cats myself that like paper. I haven't been able to leave, you know, books and things lying around, or they get nibbled on the corners. That's a tough one unless it's the same consistent paper, and then you could, again, you could sabotage it by sprinkling something bad tasting on it, like some cayenne sauce or something like that, so that when they bite in it, they get a bad taste. It's going to keep them from wanting to go back there. But as far as every piece of paper in your house, that's going to be a tough one. Some cats just are a little bit of a paper fanatic. Not harmful to the cat, as far as I know, just harmful to your
everything.
Your objects.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Lock the library door, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cat's a delightful cat, but she just likes paper.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. If Thanks a lot.
I love that show. Thanks a lot.
All right.
We go over to Ken in the Berkshires. Ken, you're on.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Love the show. So I got a bit of an issue here. I've got a pack of dogs, and two of my dogs, one is a half chow, half retriever, and the other is an American Eskimo, that when we first got them, we didn't get them together. We had the chow retriever first. When we adopted the American Eskimo, for the first couple of years, they were the best of buddies. And then another one of our dogs passed away in the pack, and the dynamic of the pack changed, and now they want to kill each other.
Oh, boy.
So we have to keep them separate, and they both kind of have crazy eye, and particularly the American Eskimo. She just spins and, ooh, you know. And so I'm wondering if there's anything we can do to either somehow get them to chill out around each other or to get them to stop fighting through whatever behavior modification we can do.
All right, what do you think, Doc?
Ay. I will tell you, dogs that decide they don't like each other, what triggered that, it's hard to say. And sometimes it can be reversed and sometimes not. I think ideally you would want to get some trainer / behaviorist involved in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, going to be difficult to do as a single person. And I certainly don't have the behavior background to tell you step by step what to do. I would get a trainer involved and see if they can work with the two dogs to get them used to being near each other. It's certainly going to be a time consuming.
They were really good friends for a couple of years.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it changed overnight almost. Wow. Well, Ken, we're going to have to leave it there, but I guess bring a professional in.
I would.
Thanks a lot for that. All right, let's finish up the show here, Doctor, with a couple from Facebook. Barbara Sims says, I'm interested in getting a doodle dog. My friend has a golden retriever poodle mix. She's a loving, non-shedding, wonderful dog, but has had problems in tearing her ACL. Is this common among that breed?
It's common among dogs, period. Some dogs more than others, and certainly the retriever breeds. I wouldn't not get a doodle just because you're worried about them tearing their ACL, because mixed breed dogs can do it.
Yeah.
My cat tore his ACLs.
Really?
It's more of an individual dog issue. They're now learning a lot of it has to do with how the dogs are built and the angle of their legs and things.
That's fascinating. So do you do that surgery?
I personally don't. We have a surgeon that comes to our practice that does it.
It's fairly common then.
Very common. Hmm. Very common.
All right. Here's one from Becky Harriet Buell Brer. My chocolate lab is shedding like there's no tomorrow. Is this just a normal thing they do this time of year, or could it be something else causing this?
Well, it could be. I mean, certainly Labradors go through shedding periods.
Yeah.
I have a lab myself, and my goodness, there are times my backyard looks like there's, you know, been a Labrador explosion out there when I brush her. So certainly some labs do go through periods where they need to be heavily brushed to get their coat, their undercoat out. If there are hair loss, patches of hair gone,
yeah,
then they probably should be checked. But otherwise, they just need a brushing.
So sometimes these are just allergies, as you say?
And it can be allergies.
They lick and...
Yep,
and...
it can be allergies. It can just be routine hair shedding, you know, seasonal hair shedding.
Okay, well, it's about all we have time for today. So is there any way people can contact you? You guys have a website, right?
We do. It's DelmarAnimalHospital.com.
Okay.
And we also have Facebook. Facebook, so they can like us on Facebook.
All right. And do you do that for your organization, or do you have somebody do your Facebook for you?
My wonderful office manager, Dale, does it.
Okay.
For us.
Well, have Dale check our Facebook, WAMC Radio. And we have the Vox Pop post up, and you may find some more questions heading your way about today's show. So you may want to have Dale just, you know, take a look, WAMC Radio. All right, thanks to everybody who called in today. Support comes from Rhinebeck Equine Hospital, a team of equine specialists in medicine and surgery providing care for horses at every stage of life. RhinebeckEquine.com. The Blue Rock Restaurant, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Chef Chris Ramirez creating new American cuisine and handcrafted desserts, wine, and beer from local to worldwide. Live jazz Fridays, TheBlueRockRestaurant.com. Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors, and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890 with 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont, curtislumber.com. And Subsidium Technologies, offering custom cloud connectivity, communications, and collaboration network services to clients globally, subsidiumtech.com. Our thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of the Del Mar Animal Hospital, and a great guest, and we will have you back again soon. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who handled the controls. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer today, Ian Pickus. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we are going to talk genealogy with Gene Nudd, which Gene has not been on in a while, so that'll be an interesting program. Hope you join us. Stay tuned now for a news update.